The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw In, episode 456. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
That's right. Throwdown predicted what the PlayStation 5 would look like. Just look at one of our episodes. Featured image. Damn. PlayStation Damn. Slim.
Good stuff. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
Yo. And I also predicted the price increase.
Yes, you did. We will speak about that. And of course, joining us from jolly old England, Mr. Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, people, you already know, back with another one. Now, here's the funny thing, man. I was like, I don't know what we're going to be talking about other than the PS5 Slim. It's like, there's nothing happened this week. But I looked around, you know, shout out to you guys in the chat for leaving some stuff there. We got some things to talk about this week, you know? Things of all varieties. And as Manny already alluded to, we got to talk about the PS5 Slim. It's real. Uh-huh. And it looks... Okay, so if you guys remember, about a month or two ago, you know, rumors started circulating that PlayStation 5 Slim was being worked on. We were all like, yeah, obviously they're going to be doing that. They always do this, right? And Manny made a mock-up. And it was obviously supposed to be a joke. Like, it looks stupid. It was literally just a regular PlayStation 5, just really skinny. You know, like somebody kind of stretched it out or whatever. That's what the actual model ended up looking like. Fucking hilarious. You know, it's like, I was like, before we move on, I remember when I first got my PS5, I was like, I would actually buy a slim version because this is one ugly ass console. I'm looking at this slim version. I'm like, it's still ugly. It's slim, but it's still fucking ugly. You know?
Okay, Tony, you know the first time you took your PlayStation out and you were shocked at the size?
Yeah.
And you're like, it's a little bit bigger and bulkier than I thought that it was going to be, right? PlayStation Slim is literally the PlayStation you thought it was going to be right before you opened the box.
Yeah. It's still ugly, though.
It is. That's why I'm like, it's the exact same thing. It's just not shockingly large anymore. Like, yeah. I feel like it's the only difference. It's the PlayStation I thought that I was going to get when I got the Behemoth Edition.
Yeah, and the other rumor that was going around was that basically it would have a detachable or attachable SSD drive, and sure enough, it does. Sure enough, it does.
Yeah, yeah. Surprise.
You know, so there's two
SKUs. Disk drive.
Yeah, disk drive. Yeah, my bad, Carlos. Thank you. So there's two SKUs, right? There's a $500 version, because basically this is going to replace the fat PS5. I guess we're going to call it that now, you know? So $500 version is going to replace the PS5, and then there's the digital version. But the interesting thing about the digital version is it's $50 more.
Y'all thought I was crazy. Y'all thought Very I was just talking shit. You're like, why would a $50 one be more money? It's usually less money, Brett. Fucking told you.
Yeah. Yeah, which is crazy because usually it should just be the same price, you know?
Yeah, except for Sony has just been like, hey, policy has just kind of raised the price on shit for no good fucking reason lately. It's kind of been their MO, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, Microsoft did the same thing too, raising the price on their console, but it sucks, yeah, man.
Okay, that's my smart-ass answer.
Yeah.
Honest answer, you could tell it was coming because they were basically disrupting the price of the PlayStation. And it was an opportunity to raise it, right? Like that's all it came down to. Like, you can't really just walk out one day and raise the price of the PlayStation. It doesn't really work like that. Inflation's been happening. Their MO has been to raise the raise how much things cost, even though they've been making record profits, to kind of pump out even more record profits. I'm not a fan of it, but that's what it is. But again, you can't just come out and do that on a Tuesday. So your only opportunity to do that is kind of the mid-gen refresh. So of course they were going to do that because they've been doing it for everything else this generation. Literally everything else. That's It's not crystal ball. It's not psychic powers. That's how I knew it was going to be more expensive.
Yeah, because again, because you see the market do it. Yeah.
Would you say you're reading the tea leaves?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you didn't have to read the tea leaves. You could just look at like the thing they've been doing since the beginning of this generation, which seems to be like the direction. Like, you know, when I complain or when I bitch about Sony, it's again number one because I deep down I kind of love the company, like right, like so I want what's best for it. But this generation, man, has seemed to be about we're going to do the same thing but charge you more money. And like honestly, every time you turn around, that's the thing that's been happening. So why would it not happen here? Yep. It's an opportunity to. I guess that's a better way, a less smart-ass way to put it too. It's an opportunity to charge more. So why would they not do it? The only reason not to do it is to try and maintain good graces with your audience. And that's not really a huge priority right now, I don't think.
Nope. Because they know people are going to buy it.
They raised the price for both the digital.
It's not. It's that. That's not necessary. Yeah, that's not necessary.
No, the
regular one. The regular one's the same price, Carlos. $500.
The disc version is as yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's just the disc.
It's just version. The discless version.
Yeah, digital edition. Yeah. I'm not calling it that.
Yeah, again, you're not just going to come out and like raise the floor on the thing. This is an opportunity to do it without coming out and just pissing off your fan base, but. Yeah, it's different than the mid-gen refresh costs more this isn't a mid-gen refresh.
This is just a slim version.
God, I hope we don't get a PS5 Pro. I hope this is the
no, mid-gen. Brett, oh. I think this signifies that we will get a PS5 Pro.
Oh God. Oh.
Listen, that hurts. The pattern is playing out exactly like it did last time.
Okay, you know? Okay.
Actually, so just what? A difference by a year because
650, 700?
No. They're probably going to do the same thing they did last time, where basically they're going to drop the price of the Slim to 400 and then charge you 500 for the PS5 Pro. They're probably going to do the same thing they did last generation.
I think they're going to charge you 600 plus.
Or maybe, I doubt it. They're not going to do that. But maybe 550.
I mean, don't listen to me. That's fine. And don't listen to me at your own peril.
Yeah, Brett, I'm not gonna. Brett was right. Remember, you're mostly wrong. So I'm not gonna just go. Oh, he was right. So I gotta listen to him all the time now.
Shut up. That's not the point.
Oh,
I'm telling you, I'm looking at the tea leaves and it's 600 plus for the pro version.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you predict that, you'll become the new Miss Cleo and dethrone Carlos. Okay. You know.
Here's how I know. Because you can look at the cost of graphics cards right now. There's an opportunity. You could look at the direction of the company. They take opportunities. Put two and two together. They're gonna charge you because they can.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think the price of graphics cards have ever dictated the price of consoles. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No. I'm just saying like they have the only comparable kind of market that you could go to get a similar service. Has seen a dramatic price increase. So they can safely increase their price by not quite so dramatically without having any backlash in actual sales numbers.
Yeah. Well, you know, with the way inflation is now, you might not be wrong. Blitz says, since all the Slim rumors leaks came true, I'm inclined to believe the Pro rumors are also true. Yep. That's the same way I'm going with it. I'm like, yep, what? This came true. I'm pretty sure the other is going to be true.
By the way,
you remember that one video that we saw of the PlayStation, of the supposed PlayStation 5 Slim? Where that guy was essentially showing it, like you know, from a factory photo. This seems to be not photo, but factory video. But this definitely seems like what this is very similar to what that guy had.
Had the same lines too, Manny.
Yep.
Yeah. That's when I saw this. I'm like, oh, that looks a little familiar. It's probably that video. Yeah.
It's that video that came out a while ago. So there you go.
Yeah. And if the pro specs are true, then it'll be $600 for sure. You know what, Brett? I think I may be sliding over to your side now. Just because of inflation, the way everything's just being jacked up now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's because they have the motive, they have the opportunity, they have the
And the thing is, they know motherfuckers will buy it, too. you know?
Well, and they know that motherfuckers will sympathize with it, too. Like, that's kind of one of those things.
I'm not a poor Xbox. I can afford a $600 console and be proud of it. You know they're going to say shit like that.
Dude, well, beyond that, like you just said, like, with inflation going the way that it is, like, let's detach from inflation for just a second, right? And just be like, man, their profits are better than they've ever been. Does it really matter that inflation is a thing when their profits are better than they've ever been? Do they really need to raise a price or make a more expensive $600? No. But they know that people will automatically go like, inflation's a thing. Like, again, like an opportunity to raise the price for without really upsetting your customer base is kind of important when deciding when to price hike. They're smart. They're if I've ever said anything shitty about Sony Corporation other than Jim Ryan, like in its direction, none of it's been that they're not fucking smart. Jim Ryan's dumb as fuck. I think Jim Ryan has no idea doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. But the rest of those motherfuckers know what's up. They know where their money's coming from.
Yeah. I got to give a shout out real quick to Dirty Def Dealer, who just gifted subs to everybody in the chat right now. Fucking awesome. Yeah. Respect, dude. Respect. Making it rain.
Yo, man, subs versus subs.
Yeah, right. Shout out Dirty Def Dealer. He's another one, man. He's been with us since day one. Old school Warzone head, you know. Good stuff, man. Thank you for that. So yeah, I mean, there's not really much more to say about the PS5 Slim. It's, you know, we saw it coming. There it is. Sony's sticking to its pattern. Well, you know,
I want to know like
me coming.
Yeah. What's up, Carlos?
We talked about previously. We talked about the potential of upgrading to a Slim version, and then I remember I asked explicitly about because I know a lot of people were kind of. Well, I know at least Tony was more looking forward to like a smaller version of the console because he didn't want that huge ass fucking fat PS5 to be on his table. So I mentioned, what if it's just the same exact thing, just a little bit like skinnier? They did the exact same thing.
Yep.
So yeah, this doesn't entice me one bit. So I'm not gonna get a Slim. I didn't get the Slim last year, but
yeah, I'm not getting a Slim. I mean, I didn't get a Slim last time. But did you see that little leg that holds up the console when you have it like horizontal
sideways? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I like so somebody made a meme of that, and it said that little thing is Insomniac Games. yeah, pretty much this generation. It's been holding up the PS5. You know.
I mean that. The stand is sold separately, isn't it?
Not the vertical one, but yes, the if you want to stand it, Manny, horizontal one,
the horizontal one.
Yeah, but the vertical one, yes, $30. You know, Brett, we talked about this in the Twitter chat, right? I already saw dudes. They did this last time. It's okay, you know. It's hilarious. Yeah, I mean,
their stand mechanism that came with the launch PS5 was. Garbage.
It's not very good. Basuda. Yeah.
But yeah, man. Funny stuff. Let me ask you guys in the chat, are you gonna get the PS5 Slim? Well, Manny, you will by default, because that's gonna be the only PlayStation.
That's available. Gonna be the only PlayStation that's out.
Yep.
Well, can I throw on there, or are you gonna wait for the Pro?
Should I wait for the Pro? I mean,
you wanna play Spider-Man now, don't you?
You'll play Spider-Man now.
Yeah.
I mean, Manny's
a patient guy.
Yeah,
I am very patient.
That is true.
I could just wait for a fat PlayStation Pro. Yeah.
Oh, it'll be honestly, even bigger. That'd be what I would be doing, because you're not gonna this generation is not gonna obviously launch until the latter half of the second half of the generation. So why not actually play the real PS5 games as you know?
I would have to say though. I don't have a 4K television.
So
it doesn't matter, really.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what television I have. I don't have a 4K television. So, like, I mean, I guess I could play things at 60 frames per second, but frame rates have never been a thing for me, to be honest. Like, hey, I got it. If I got it, I got it. If I don't, I don't. I'm probably going to be playing Spider-Man and a bunch of other games in, you know, in 30 FPS mode with ray tracing and all that other garbage on.
Yeah.
I think the only reason to do that would be future proofing if you plan to buy a 4K. which I'll be honest, man, I don't know how you've gone up to a 4K TV yet. That shit would drive me crazy.
What do you mean? Most content is not even fucking 4K anyway, man.
Dude, that's no, crazy. Like a good amount of like, especially high budget content is definitely 4K.
No, it's not. Most of it's upscaled shit. So you're just watching stuff upscaled. The effects industry does not and most editing stations don't export anything higher than 2K. So everything that you see, even at the movie theaters right now, all upscaled after it goes through the effects and editing pipeline. The only thing that you can say is really 4K sports, because they're actually throwing a 4K feeds over the airway. So
I'm not saying a lot of it.
It's a bunch of special effects.
It looks good, or I will at least say like Netflix has a pretty good selection of like things that appear to be 4K. Like even Stranger Things technically broadcast in 4K.
In general, there's very few bits of content that because the thing is to upgrade stations like that to 4K systems, it costs a lot of money. So the easiest way they do it, they've been doing it for years. They've been AI upscaling everything.
You remember, by the way,
AI upscaling is not a new thing.
I just don't have a problem with it. Like the upscaling looks pretty good. I'm just saying.
To me, to be honest, I would much rather just buy another a 1080p television with the what's that thing? Other trick that they use these days? HDR. I'd much rather have a 1080 television with HDR than 4K.
Do they still sell 1080 televisions?
I was going to say, do they? I don't think they do.
They don't. They don't sell them. Everything's 4K now.
Yeah, like 4K OLED HDR. You know.
Yeah.
You got to remember, Manny. You had a like CRT TV for even with during the PS3 era. So you know, Manny.
Yeah, TVs. Yeah, I mean, like if the TV's not broken, I'm not going to go and get rid of it unless the damn thing catches fire or somehow doesn't start working. I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah.
Chris, have you upgraded to a 4K television?
No, I still have the same plasma TV that we had.
My man said plasma, shit.
Yeah.
You still have to put the liquid inside of it, too.
No, but I mean, I'm sure you run the thing, right? The little thing that gets rid of all the...
Yeah, the degaussing or whatever it's called to get rid of the burn-in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked about this before. I always get a new television when I get a new PlayStation console. That's just the way. It's kind of funny because it wasn't like deliberate. Then it started becoming deliberate. Like I got a new TV, it was like a CRT TV at the time. When I got the PS2, kind of just happened at the same time. Then when the PS3 came out, I was like, oh, 720p? Guess I got to get a 720p TV. Did that, right? Then with PS4, I was like, oh, 1080p? Guess I got to get that now. Then with PS5... And then with PS5, was like 4K. Got to get that now. So you know, but the thing is, it still works because I end up getting a new TV every 7 years or so, which is still pretty good. You know,
I'll tell you, the first like 1080p television was the one that me and that Chris had in the living room. That was the first ever 1080p television that I ever played on.
Yeah,
I'm not saying otherwise. I didn't go up to 4K until like 3 years ago, I want to say, when I moved into my new house, and like my TV became the bedroom TV, and I got the new TV. But like now that I have a 4K TV, as long as nothing goes wrong with the 4K TV, then I'm future proof for like 10 years, man.
Yeah, PS5 6.
PS5 6. That's kind of what it is.
That would be an
Xbox level naming scheme.
But yeah, basically, when I get my new PlayStation, upgrade my PC, then I will get a new TV. Even though right now, see, you can't be giving Tony money right now, man, because I'm like, they got newer, better TVs than what I got right now, and I could afford it easily, but I'm not going to because. I'm sticking with my plan. Get a new TV with a new console, you know?
Yo, Tony.
What's up?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes. What is it?
Why do you not combine both your TV and your PC and just get one really big, awesome thing?
Because I like separation, man. This right here, podcasting and work, that over there is gaming. I don't want. I don't want two things in one. I need my separation. You know.
Same reason, Mania, and I like living room gaming. Okay.
Yep.
Yep, yeah, but again, you know, I live in one giant room, this studio apartment. I need that separation, you know, mental separation.
Makes sense.
Yep, there you go. And Brett, what's fun is, like, literally my monitor is right here. The PC is literally in the middle of my monitor and my television. It's great. Both. You know? But yeah, no, Brett, I'm with you on 4K. Yo, when I got my 4K, that OLED is what fucked me up more than any OLED and HDR. I was like, what the fuck? Because remember, I got my TV before I got my PS5. I was getting ready for it. I had the PS4 Pro. Yo, when I fired up those games, I was like, what the fuck have I been missing, man? Holy shit. You know? And that's when you guys finally got me. I was like, all right. Because for a year, you guys were hounding me to watch that fucking Spider-Verse movie. I'm like, okay, that movie's 4K. I'll watch it on this TV. I didn't like the movie, but I like the colors that were in the movie, you know? So, yeah, this television's the shit, man. The LG CX. I know they got the C3 and shit, but it still holds me out, man. You know? The what is it? 100, yeah, pretty much, you know. Carlos, is it NVIDIA that it supports, or because it doesn't support AMD FreeSync, right? It's just NVIDIA, like G-Sync.
I don't remember. I think it's both.
I think because I know most televisions or the good ones support both, but this thing's old, you know. So, NVIDIA probably is a given, you know. But anyway, 120 hertz, you know, with the PS5. If you have the HDMI 2.1, you get the, you know, with some, the few games that support it, get 120 frames a second and shit. The response time is good. Yo, and game, here's a funny thing. Because I remember with old TVs, when you put game mode on it, like, response time was all fucked up. But now, you know, modern TVs compensate for that because, like, you know, those pictures sometimes would get ugly before. That doesn't happen now. That shit's a game changer too, man. As I learned when I went to the one Sega event, they were using fucking Amazon Fire TVs. I'm playing that new Sonic game that's coming out. I'm like, yo, why is this shit so? Why is the response so shitty? You know? Then I was like,
because they didn't turn.
Yeah. Then I looked around and I saw the control there. I'm like, grab the control. I'm like, oh, they didn't turn game mode on. You know?
They don't know.
The fuck were we even talking about? Yeah. Anyway, 4K for life, man.
Okay, so one thing I haven't heard people talk about is the actual specs. I mean, obviously they're very
internal. The same. Apparently, it's the same.
It's exactly the same. Yeah. So it's just a smaller version of everything.
Yep, pretty much.
I thought the SSD was
it's a little faster.
1 terabyte, wasn't it? No, it's 1 terabyte. Apparently.
You're right. But I'm talking about like the other stuff. But you're right, Carlos. The SSD has more storage. Not that much more. Yeah,
16 gigabytes, which is what it had before. For RAM? What is this? Yes, for system memory.
Okay,
RAM. So it's got.
But storage though, because wasn't it like 6 something before?
It was some stupid number.
I know it's like 8 something now.
Well, the SSD is 1 terabyte.
Yeah.
And then
hold on.
Yeah, Brian, give us a specs.
I distinctly remember a certain Mark Cerny saying stuff about that the 825 gig SSD was like the perfect size for something during that talk he did.
Yeah.
And then we were all just wondering, like, so why is it not 1 terabyte? So all of a sudden it's 1 terabyte is possible now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's still 1 terabyte. I think it's still 800 whatever, isn't it?
Well, no.
On the website it says 1 terabyte.
1 terabyte.
Ooh.
So
somebody's remembering things. There we go.
Brian never forgets. You know, I'm still waiting for deep down yeah. here, you know.
Brian's like an elephant, I'm still waiting, you know.
I'm still waiting for that Snake Lady game. I don't remember what it's called anymore, but we all remember it. Just that one, was it Wild or something? Anyway.
Yeah. You're right. Hey, Blitz, you got a Bravia, bro? What you got, man? He said he got a Bravia. Anyway, Brian, continue, sir.
Cerny.
Oh no, I'm just confused as to why now it's 1 terabyte is possible, you know, because everyone was saying that, oh yeah, because the way it's arranged and it's 8 modules, blah blah blah. I'm like, but 1 terabyte's a round number. You know, everything is again, it's a power of 2 for a reason, you know.
Okay, so here's one. Okay, so the RDNA is the same, ray tracing allocation, and it has the same thing as far as the GPU goes. It's all the same.
the Zen 2. It's still using a Zen 2. And it has,
Zen 2? Damn.
Yeah, Zen 2. Very 8 cores, 16 threads.
Nigga, we on that Zen 4 right now, man. Anyway.
Memory system is... the memory system is the one change that they did.
Ooh, Blitz, man. Bravia X95K. Nice.
So, it's 1 terabyte, obviously, and SSD in the previous one is, 825. The bandwidth is exactly the same on both, which is 5.5 gigabytes read bandwidth. The optical drive, let's see what's that change.
They didn't remember the rumor about they were going to switch to a 3-nanometer process? I guess that didn't happen with the chips.
Yeah. PS5 game disc, it says optical drive, HD, Blu-ray. Ultra Blu-ray, it's all this pretty much the same. It doesn't tell you the read speed on the new one.
Probably the same.
Yeah. Video out support is the same. The audio is 3D audio, which is the same. They don't give you the dimensions on the other one, but obviously they said it's like 30% smaller. The weight, they don't tell you that. Output is the super speed USB 10. So they did add additional USB ports, as I remember.
Oh,
in the front they have two USB Type C is on the console, right?
Yeah,
and that's super speed. Then they also have a USB C port, high speed USB. Then they have USB A type, and there's two ports on the back. So they have two ports on the front for USB-C and two ports on the back for USB-A. One person who is, one person did bring up, did do a review on it, not a review, but just looking through the specs. They did say that if you have one of those fighting pads or anything that uses the USB-A, that means you probably have to thread the USB port around it in order to use your fight stick instead of sticking it in the front the way it used to be.
I don't think it has one even now. Actually, I can just look at Carlos's shit. Wait, Carlos, is that USB-A on the front?
Yeah, it's got one USB-A, and it's got one USB-C. So now it's got two USB-Cs on the front and then two USB-As on the back.
Ah, okay.
Because it had... Because the old one had three ports. Interesting. The old one had, let's see. It had two USB-A ports, and then it had the USB-C ports somewhere else. You had three USB-A ports. Sorry.
Yeah, it had two at the back, USB-A, two at the back, one at the front, and USB-C at the front. So it seems like they've removed one of the A's at the front and switched it for a C.
Yep. And then the Ethernet is all exactly the same. Yep, all exactly the same. And then it says Bluepoint. On here, though, it does say something. Okay, the previous one says it has Bluetooth 10.1. That is not listed on the new one.
What's the new one, then?
The new one, it doesn't say Bluetooth 10.1.
Hmm.
Everything else is fine. It's pretty much the same. With the exception of the Bluetooth 5.1. I don't know what that means, but that's one small thing that the previous one had that the other one doesn't. I heard that Sony was moving to some sort of funky proprietary stuff for their headphones.
Yeah.
So yeah. My guess is that the new PlayStation also has that inside of it too.
But then it must be compatible with the controllers and the Bluetooth, as far as I know, unless they're not Bluetooth.
Unless they're using it. Yeah, unless they're not using Bluetooth.
Yeah, so I would assume that it must be the same Bluetooth, but maybe they've... Because I know that for the headphones, you had to have that USB stick, so maybe they've integrated whatever protocol that is as well into the Slim, which makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. But
I'm going to say that it must be the same Bluetooth because else controllers will stop working. And, unless Sony wanted to make a new system that you need to rebuy all the controllers again, which to be honest, I would not be surprised if they did.
Oh, it actually. Oh, wait, it says external dimensions.
Okay, I had to do a double check. To you guys in here in the chat, it's going to be backward, but you're talking about these guys, right?
Yes.
Because reviewer of this coming soon, guys. I wanted to have it up this week, but fucking Prime Day took over everything. But I will be reviewing the End Zone earbuds.
So those are the ones that use that crazy new the crazy new Sony thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So, yeah. Crazy. So I guess these will work with the new console, and you know, yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, because if you remember, it had it, like for the old PlayStations, it needed a dongle.
Yeah. Right?
For the current ones, and that the PlayStation Portal that doesn't use that.
I can use this on the Portal though, right?
You should be able to use those on the PlayStation Portal.
Gotcha. Yeah. We'll talk. I had to make sure I wasn't breaking embargo. Oh, it says the 10th. We're going to talk about breaking embargo a little bit later on, speaking about another Sony thing. Anyway, anything else you guys want to say about the PS5 Slim? No?
Manny, make sure to do an unboxing during the show.
I mean, yeah, I can do an unboxing on the show. And whenever it goes up to pre-order or order, you know, I'll see if I can.
We didn't get a date, did we?
No, they haven't given a date yet. They actually just said
it's gotta be for Spider-Man though. Like,
but then again, Spider-Man drops off.
No, Spider-Man is on next Friday. Shit!
You know one thing.
Yeah.
That about that. You know how what was I found interesting about when they released the Spider-Man console with the new shields on it. Usually, if you buy a bundle. You get it at the same time as the game comes out, right? This is a weird situation where you literally got a console before you got the actual game. But then again, they're not packing games inside of these things anymore either. That's because they did that for Starfield too. Starfield doesn't have Starfield with the console. You don't get a disc anymore.
Yeah, interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Move on. We got to talk about John Riccitiello. So he is. Kotaku. I hate the site, but this headline's funny, man. One of gaming's most hated CEOs says goodbye again. John Riccitiello is retiring from Unity after torching the company's reputation. Yep, we talked about the whole Unity fiasco last month and stuff when they were just going to be charging like developers. For pretty much everything, for fucking downloads, man. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's something that you could never like. How do you even sort of quantify any of that sort of stuff? People were all asking, like, okay, so how do you like? Are you tracking? Are you have some sort of tracking software that's doing this? Like, how are you doing? Like, again, like it's weird. So
yeah,
yep. John Boy's gone.
He's gone, man. And I mean, this guy's been in industry forever, obviously. But yeah, not surprised there. Something had to happen after that fiasco, And I know they kind of walked it back, but not exactly. Like, it's messy, But, after a bunch of indie developers like, fuck this shit. We ain't using your Unity.
Yeah.
That costs some money, obviously,
And you know why they called him in, right?
Riccitiello?
Because what happened is that they wanted him to be a part of the, when they they were going to go public.
Yeah.
So they called him. They get that idiot to come in and fuck around with shit when they're going to go public. It was the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah. So my man's gone. I mostly remember him from EA. From back in the day.
Yeah, he was the chop blocker from EA. Literally, the guy who was voted the worst CEO for the worst company multiple times in a row.
Yeah, yeah. It's just funny. Go ahead.
Whose brilliant idea was it to get that motherfucker? But I guess you know what it is. It's called. I'm sure he made them a lot of money, and the people there saw, hey, he made them a lot of money, so maybe we should get him over on our side. The other mysterious thing with him, and people sort of noticed this, he actually sold a bunch of stock at Unity when literally right before all this craziness happened. Obviously, it's not, for, you know, obviously, you know, CEOs, you know, they can sell or do whatever with their stock.
Yeah.
But why so close to this crazy thing? It could just be a weird coincidence, but I don't know.
No, but no, you're right. Like his reign over EA was coincided when EA was like voted worst company in America, almost hated company in America, like multiple years in a row. Like, mm-hmm. that's an accomplishment, because there are some actually legitimately worse companies in America than EA, mm-hmm. you know? So that's an accomplishment right there.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised also, he didn't. I'm surprised he didn't get. They didn't. Unity didn't get that. That while he was there.
Yeah. What's up, Carlos?
I wouldn't be surprised if this idea was, because sometimes these types of ideas don't come from the CEO. They just you know, stamp it. But I wouldn't be surprised if this idea did come from him, because usually CEOs don't step down that easily. Guillemot has done Guillemot, some crazy shit.
You know,
fucking, what's his name? Activision, that motherfucker.
Kotick.
Bobby Kotick. I mean, even Sony and Microsoft, not to their level, but they've had fuck ups and everything. CEO's still intact. But, and, you know, Riccitiello is someone that's been a mainstay in the industry for a long ass time as a CEO. So I'm surprised that he either stepped down or got taxed. But my guess is that he was directly involved into this whole thing. So it must have been either his idea or someone, or he like really championed it and it didn't work out.
Not gonna be
shedding any tears for that. Good riddance.
He probably had told their board on the amount of potential revenue they would get by changing the strategy, and he probably sold them on that, and then didn't realize how much it would backfire.
Yeah, I think
that's what happened.
The thing about it is that doesn't understand is that the independent community can totally go somewhere else, like, and they literally would be giving Unreal a bunch of their things. They're also talking, there's another platform, like independent development thing. I can't remember what the name of it was called, but that during this time, their revenue went up, and a bunch of people invested a bunch of money into them to try to get them up to snuff, to essentially get them to the point of a Unity alternative.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably running off of it's kind of like calculated misery. He was trying to bank against people not transitioning engines because they're too far along in their project. Yeah. Therefore, they would sit and take this change in revenue streaming from them, rather than gut their project and try to integrate Unreal or some other engine in there. Mm-hmm. And he chose poorly.
Well, you know, TikTok the witch is dead or whatever. You know, I wonder what he's going to go next. What he's going to ruin next?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about CEOs, they can just go anywhere.
All they
need to do is just flash their resume and how much money they made.
Yeah, like, oh, they made how much money? Yeah, fell upwards.
Granted, he said they're saying he's been retired. He's retired, which also doesn't mean a damn thing either. You know, you spend a certain amount of time in retirement, you just come right back out again.
Yeah.
Unity is looking for a CEO. Sony is looking for a CEO. Activision, we'll see what happens with homeboy. You know, Phil Harrison is looking for a job.
No.
Dust out the LinkedIn resume there.
Oh God! Yeah, right.
I think as I remember the name of the platform, which was the name of the platform that's been was like right under Unity that uses very similar programming style is a program called Godot. That's the program.
It's right.
So the engine.
Yeah. All right. So there you go, John Riccitiello, gone. All right. We're gonna talk about some Activision stuff for a little bit here. So
Activist Sun.
I'm gonna kind of combine two stories here. Because earlier, let's go to this one because this kind of just happened tonight. I'm reading this off of Jay Wood on Twitter. Activision shares have officially been halted for quote-unquote pending news ahead of speculation that Microsoft may close tomorrow. So it seems tomorrow, that's it. It's probably going to go down tomorrow. And that's not a rumor. They actually have halted their shares. Pretty interesting, you know?
Yeah.
So be prepared. Anyway, so with that, an earlier story that happened this week is basically saying, and this was just a report, that as soon as the deal closes, which might be tomorrow, 2024, Activision Blizzard games coming to Game Pass. So they're not, it seems they're not going to be wasting time. Not like more recent games. It says Modern Warfare.
Classic games.
Yeah. Because like it says Modern Warfare 3, which is coming out, and Diablo 4 won't be part of Xbox Game Pass. Oh, hold on. Wait. Okay, so Modern Warfare 3 and Diablo 4 won't be part of Game Pass in 2023, but there's still room for some older games to be added before 2024. So we may get some games even now, you know, but yeah, the games are going to start coming, you know, when the deal closes. So that's why they bought this company. They want to shore up Game Pass with content, you know?
Yeah. Now, what things could be on there? Like, I mean, obviously the older Call of Duty games you could possibly throw on there. You know, what other Starcraft things? Like
Starcraft.
There's Starcraft. Is Starcraft even for...
No, it's not on consoles. No.
It's not on consoles.
They have to be optimized.
But I mean, to be honest, like if you have Game Pass PC, you know, if you're running the PC version, you could definitely pick that one out.
Yeah. Yep. Warcraft 3 or something.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah.
Is that
I don't know if they still have the Tony Hawk license anymore.
Prototype. Yeah, they do have Prototype.
They could. Yeah, you could literally throw Prototype. Oh, well,
hey, Brett, but remember you were asking us about games with 1-to-1 scale New York? Prototype games had them, and it was horrible getting around because the map was accurate. It was fucking big. Like, this sucks. So yeah, Prototype. Here's the funny thing. Most of the Activision games I want to play are Marvel games, and you know they're not going to
happen. They don't have the Hulk Ultimate Destruction or the, what was it, Marvel
X-Men Legends. Ultimate Alliance? Yeah, Ultimate Alliance, X-Men Legends, Spider-Man. Remember all those games? Spider-Man 2, you know? They don't have, because those are the only Activision games I really played back in the day.
I never really played.
Never really any played other Activision COD
games. Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like the deal may go down tomorrow, and if that happens, we're going to be getting Game Pass is going to be getting an injection of games. Brett, I want your take on that specifically because I know you've been talking about how, you know, this may help out Game Pass.
Didn't you just say they're not getting a bunch of games?
They're not going to be getting a bunch of newer games this year, but starting next year, the floodgates are going to open.
Yeah, I think this is, they just killed Diablo, so that's fun. But, they make a lot of passive income. So, here's the thing. I'm happy, I guess, that Game Pass is making some money. But I'm not necessarily happy that it's making money off of things that feel like not my bag. You know, it's like Fortnite type stuff. So
yeah, I don't see Brett as a big Activision fan. Like on Call of Duty, Guitar Hero. Like that's all. I don't know.
None of this really affects me. And I don't play for teams, so I'm not this is a win for Microsoft. I'm like, I stopped playing Diablo, so I don't give a shit. I'm fairly indifferent at this point because I don't play Call of Duty.
See, folks, he's not shilling for fucking Microsoft. Come on, man.
No. I guess it could be ammo if that's really what I was worried about. And again, it's not. So it doesn't really affect me. So it'll, I guess, be good if they can round out their library and bring something good to market. I mean, here's really all I want is for them to push Sony to be a bit more competitive, because I like competitive Sony best. Competitive Sony is best Sony. That's why they got the where they are, but they're not really being challenged, and that's, you know, it's not great for us. You know, I don't think it's coincidence that they have been sitting so comfortably in first place, and look at the landscape right now. Like those two things are probably connected, you know, like third party games aside, we I'd like to see an industry where or first party is a bit more competitive. If Nintendo can do it, why can't Sony?
Well, because they kind of don't have to be right now. That's why they're making all the money, you know?
Yeah, well, that's my point. Like, it's like I don't want them to be at a place where they don't have to be. Like, come on, that's really all I want from Microsoft. Like, hey, be competent and make the other company actually, you know, try.
Yeah.
How much the sales are for Call of Duty on PlayStation after next year, because that'll probably be the first year where Call of Duty is going to be on Game Pass, going to release in Game Pass day one. So if I wonder how it'll affect Sony's sales, if it'll undercut it in any way, because they signed the 10-year agreement to keep those games on PlayStation. So I wonder if we'll see any ramifications to that.
Blitz, it was Blitz. He goes, this might happen on Friday the 13th. That's fitting. Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
I wish Adam was here, man. You know, he has some thoughts on this. It's happening. Call of Duty.
This is it.
This is what we're waiting for.
You're waiting for this. Uncle Phil's going to get the game and going to make Call of Duty great again.
Candy Crush coming to Xbox. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, they said Microsoft did say they wanted Activision's mobile department.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm thinking like, damn, Microsoft got a huge ass fucking haul with Activision Blizzard. Like, but then I'm like, what games are gonna excite me to play on Game Pass day one for the Activision output? And I'm like, I don't know. Call of Duty, maybe.
Call of Duty.
That's it. Like, World of Warcraft, it's not like even if they release a new World of Warcraft, it's still going to be under a paywall. StarCraft, maybe? I don't know. But I don't even know if they're ever going to release another StarCraft. It's been almost over 10 years since 2.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, man. Like, when you take a company with tired and worn out IPs and combine their power with a company that nobody has faith to successfully produce a game, and combine their powers, you get a lot of people who are apathetic or disappointed. Like, I'm sorry, this isn't really like a match made in heaven. Microsoft has yet to prove themselves as consistently competent game developers, and Blizzard has basically either forgotten and aged out most of its IPs or directly soured or poisoned the well in terms of fan graces. So, like, I want to say just literally every game that Activision Blizzard has that hasn't failed has a fan base that is mad at them.
Yeah. I'm looking at you, Heroes of the Storm.
You know, Heroes of the Storm.
Well, I'm looking at you, Overwatch. I'm looking at you, Call of Duty.
Well, you're definitely looking at Diablo.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Diablo. It's kind of laughable. It's shocking. It's almost unbelievable how consistently they have systematically ruined everything about their company. You couldn't have done it better if you were playing 4D chess and had a fucking time machine. Like, it's almost impressive in how far from grace they've fallen and how quickly.
A lot of these companies, really, I mean, we're looking at EA, looking at Ubisoft, a lot of these companies. Only Capcom is the only one that kind of got up. They're like, they fell down, they got up, and they're fighting strong. But, you know, a lot of these other big legacy, big publishers / developers have not been doing great these last couple of generations.
So, yeah, we'll see what goes down tomorrow, man. Should be interesting. If it goes down, man, Twitter's going to be on fucking fire, man.
It's actually going to happen tomorrow, where I feel like you're just going to get more and more and more guessing. They're not done with us yet.
They're not going to let us go.
It would be too easy for it to be done tomorrow.
Oh, man. All right, let's move on. A couple other things here. We got to talk. This is fucking one of the stupidest things I saw.
Uh-oh.
All right, so you guys remember the Lord of the Rings Gollum game, how fucked up that game was? You know?
Yep.
So the developers came out and you know, issued an apology, a public apology, that was written by ChatGPT. that's sincere of them, and they didn't even bother checking it over because the thing spelled Lord of the Rings wrong. Lord of Rings.
They got you good.
I mean, how like, I don't even know the word for it. Like, how disingenuous is that? It's like how are we supposed to believe your apology if you don't even bother having a human write it? You know, like you know, they probably prompt write apology letter. Lord of the About Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
and it's, you know what? What I hate Rings. About that? That there is enough data from other apology letters to artificially learn to build a new apology letter.
That's probably what they did.
No, I don't. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's not just one, not two, but dozens of apology notices were scanned and rebuilt. There shouldn't be dozens of apology notices that are all fucking identical for this thing to learn on to begin with. Like, everything about that is horrifying. This is why I'm like, oh yeah, this is why people are scared about AI. Because mm-hmm. to me, I'm like, this is really just fascinating stuff. We could use it to do so much cool stuff. We could cure diseases. And then I see this kind of shit, and I'm like, oh yeah, the rest of you.
To be fair, I mean, generating an apology letter from ChatGPT is equally as soulless as most apology letters to begin with.
Yeah, but at least, like, even they're soulless.
Congratulations, we created a soulless apology letter.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. These apology letters are soulless regardless. But this is like an extra step. You know, this is like
it's not even written by a person.
It's like, let's actually take the human part out of it now, you know?
But if you're going to do that, couldn't you at least have someone to
proofread it? Yeah, it's like, oh, there should be an extra "the" in there, you know? Lord of Rings.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. This is the future you wanted. Here's your AI future, people, you know?
No, this is not the future we wanted.
This is the future. But Brett, now you understand why I'm so concerned about that, because of shit like this, you know?
And also, to be fair times two, this is the worst thing they've done in the last year. That Golem game was even worse.
Yeah, and they also have the rights to another Lord of the Rings. They still have the Lord of the Rings franchise, by the way. They're making some other game. In fact, they announced it. Yeah.
Is that the dwarf one? Because I heard that it was canceled.
Oh, did they cancel it? Oh, okay. Whatever.
I could have sworn that they canceled it because of the bad reception of the Golem game. Let me just double check.
Like, anybody would play a game from that company ever again.
Oh my god.
We ruined our reputation.
I'm going to read this this paragraph here, just from Kotaku as well. Shortly after release, Daedalic seemingly posted an apology to social media describing Lord of the Rings Golem as an, quote, underwhelming experience, quote, while promising patches. An apology that rather concerningly incorrectly spelt the name of the game while packing in empty aphorisms. It later became clear that the apology wasn't written by Daedalic, but rather their new owner's publisher, Nacon, and published without Daedalic's approval. But even more extraordinary, two anonymous sources of Game 2 told them that the apology was written by ChatGPT, and the misspelling probably lends credence to that. You know, and Brett, like you said, there's been so many apology letters. You could train an AI to do that, you know?
But at least CD Projekt Red had enough sense to video, do all of their, you know, own. Yeah, they put out a video of it.
This is the shit I was telling you people about, man. You know, this is fucking horrible, but not unexpected either. All right. The last thing we got, you know, I always go off on fucking rants when it comes to motherfuckers breaking embargoes. We got to talk about this. And I consulted with the fellas beforehand. I will refrain from naming the source here, but it is a very popular YouTube channel that did this. So said YouTube channel accidentally, quote unquote, published their Spider-Man 2 review ahead of the embargo. The embargo is on Monday, October 16th. That's when the embargo lifts for everybody. They posted their video accidentally. They pulled it down, but not before people saw the video and saw the content in it. And why am I not surprised it was an influencer? Why am I not surprised it was an influencer? Yeah, you know,
just how long was it? By the way, did it say how long it was up?
I'm not sure. It was just a short time. It was up, but it was enough time where people saw it, and they got a lot of hits. Obviously,
of course they did.
You know, obviously got a lot of hits,
bumping those numbers, yo.
Yep. And again, in these cases, I always have to ask: is the clout worth it for you to be blacklisted? You know.
But the problem is
a lot of these fucking influencers aren't blacklisted because their numbers are so high. You know, companies are so stupid. PR can be so stupid. They just look at the numbers. Oh, look at the clicks they get. Look at the views they get. It's like they just broke embargo. You need to cut them the fuck off, man. The rest of us over here are playing by the goddamn rules. These fucking idiots are just doing whatever they want. You know, it infuriates the shit out of me every time they do this. And what is this, like the fifth embargo break this year? You know, it's insane. You know, who fucking cares what score to give it? They're fucking assholes, man. You know,
doesn't matter. To be honest, like
that shit doesn't matter anyway. Yeah.
And in general, like it's like, what score did they give it anyway? It's like, what do you think it is? It's probably getting a good score anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the reviewer, who knows what Record Sony's going to do, but they'll probably be less, you know, harsh on it because he liked the game, you know?
I do remember a point when back in the day, those Sony PR people were fairly...
they were brutal, man. They were brutal. Fuck, you know? I remember, but at the same time, I'm not going to name names. There was one PlayStation-centric website that's still around today that actually got big because they completely fucking leaked something they weren't supposed to, you know? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, that leak made their website so big that nobody could ignore them, you know? Which it's not the way it's supposed to work, man, you know? Motherfuckers broke embargo. You need to cut them off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking stupid, so... You know, hopefully, you know, people didn't get spoiled on the game. But I will say that, though, since the embargo lifts on Monday, be prepared because people will spoil it on YouTube. They don't give a fuck, you know. I remember when God of War 2018 came out, right, when the embargo lifted, the same day it lifted, you saw God of War ending explained. I'm like, what the fuck? What are we doing here? You know, they weren't breaking embargo. That's just bad, you know. So get ready. Big week next week. Yeah, Spider-Man dropping. What else is happening this week is that it's going to be big. All I know about Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, the fucking is Mario. Yeah, Mario, but who gives a fuck, you know? But Spider-Man definitely going to be the Monday. Get ready for Monday, man. When that embargo lifts, you already know Twitter is going to go fucking crazy, you know? you're probably going to have the pony strutting around like peacocks. The Xbox is going to be hating, you know? And then
people are going to say...
Controversies are going to be coming.
Spider-Man not on the console, consoles is anti-consumer.
So unlike this certain YouTube channel, you will not hear my thoughts until Monday, you know? So stay tuned for that. Fucking scumbags, man. You know, not surprised by that shit at all.
Bunch of scabs.
fucking idiots, man. That's what it is. All right, since we got a little bit of time here, what have we been playing lately?
Have you playing lately?
I'll go down the line. Manny, you been playing anything?
A few weeks ago I did play the Ninja Turtles DLC.
Shredder's Revenge?
Yeah, the Shredder's Revenge. Did that game have a platinum?
I'm not sure.
Well, all I know is now they have a platinum for some reason.
Ooh, that's cool.
I wonder if you add DLC to a game, you can retroactively add a platinum trophy to a game. I don't know. But anyway, they added some new stuff in there. Like, now they added two more characters, which was Karai and Usagi Yojimbo. Shout-outs to Stan Sakai. By the way, Usagi Yojimbo is not owned by Peter Laird or the Ninja Turtle franchise. It's a adjacent franchise, which they have to, negotiate separate in order to put in. So yes, it was cool. You know, they have them voiced and everything. They have little endings when you finish the game. So it was a good time. It was nice to play it over again and sort of go through the game with those two characters. They definitely have a lot of really fun Easter egg moves. Karai is pretty much like a recreation of her fighting game self from the if you've played the re-release of all the Turtle games through Konami. Those are a lot of the moves that she does are all things from that game, which is pretty fun.
Oh, that's cool.
And also, obviously, when you play the game, you can shade the turtles in any way you want. So you can make them look like, you know, Rise of the TMNT, My Show 2003, as well as, you know, the old Game Boy games and a bunch of other fun stuff. But it was good. It was good. Definitely nice to have it. They have a new like a cool survival mode that you can play through as well. That's what I played.
Good stuff. Carlos, what have you been playing lately?
I've been playing Cyberpunk.
Oh shit.
I've been pretty much done with the main Phantom Liberty campaign for a while now, so I've been doing all the side quests. And they have, surprise, this game has more side quests than it knows what to do with.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are actually like
they're really good.
Even like the not even the main side quests, but the side gigs.
Yeah.
I'm like the effort it took to just put everything together, because like, you know, this the game has main quests, which is, you know, the main story quest. It has side quests, which is are like the main quests for the tangentially important characters. And then there's side gigs, which are just like things you can do in town to help your XP and get some money. And even the side gigs like kind of have like pretty good effort on how they work. Like you can go inside buildings and stuff. They're really good. Funny thing. I just realized that you can change the, and this is a chokeable moment. I realized for the first time like a couple of hours ago that you can change the side hands.
Yeah.
You know what the side hands are?
Yeah.
I just realized you can change them.
Ooh. Because
this game has so much shit that you can do. It's like you can easily, I'm like, okay, so I'm just
going to. Yeah, I was finding shit like 100 hours in and shit like, oh, I could do that, you know?
Yeah, so it's.
So you can change the side hands? So in other words, the way the hands look?
Oh no! So side hands is a way which you can hack into things. So you can hack into people, you can hack into machinery and computers and stuff, and you can do different things like the original one's just ping, and then short circuit. So short circuit just does a little bit of damage to a person or to a machine. Mm-hmm. But you can do different things. You can make them commit suicide.
Yeah, you can. Yep.
They did add quite a bit of new things to it though.
Yeah,
you know, since that like the side gigs, as I remember hearing, those were really upgraded for this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do in this game, and I'm gonna, so tomorrow's gonna be gonna be my last day playing this game.
Excuse me?
Because I want to take a break between this and Spider-Man.
Yeah,
because I know I need to go ham for Spider-Man before I take off to go save Brooklyn. Just been playing Cyberpunk. I don't know if a DLC can be game of the year, but we'll see. Just looking forward to Spider-Man.
Nice. All right, I'll go next. Obviously, I can't talk about Spider-Man yet, but I can't talk about Assassin's Creed Mirage, people. The game has been out for about a week now, and apparently it's doing very well according to Ubisoft. Although, weirdly enough, they're not giving you any specific sales numbers. They said it's selling well. I don't know. But I think the game's dope. It brings the franchise back to basics. More focus on stealth. You know, shorter campaign. You know, there's side quests, but not a lot of them and stuff. The map is smaller, but I would say it's denser, especially within Baghdad itself. Obviously, there's a big-ass desert around it and stuff. And I enjoyed it, man. It really made me feel like I was playing a better version of the first game, because my problem with the first game was that there was like almost nothing to do outside of like the main seven assassinations. This one, you know, has a better story, more fleshed out. Combat's really good. Back to basics. Like like if this game, like basically when it comes to combat, it's really parry based and stuff. And if you're like surrounded by like a lot of dudes, like you really need to rely on your tools because you're going to get fucked up. You know, I enjoyed it a lot. I beat that game on Monday and I was like, yeah, this hit the spot. And interestingly, this game does something that we kind of been asking Assassin's Creed games to do forever. It doesn't have any of the modern day shit. It's just purely just the ancient shit, and that's it. Nothing. None of that.
Oh, you know? Okay, cool. So it's just all his. It doesn't have any of the stuff from the like in the future and all that stuff. Nope. Interesting.
No, there's no future stuff. There's like one line in the beginning from one of the future people, right, or modern day people, and that's all you get. That is all you get. The rest is just purely set in Baghdad, you know?
I heard that this game was also was supposed to be a DLC
for It was supposed to be a DLC for Valhalla, because the main character was introduced in Valhalla, but they were like, you know, we could flesh this out to be a full game. They ended up giving me a Assassin's Creed game I've been wanting for fucking years now, because like after starting with Origins, they just were like, hey, why don't we be more like The Witcher and have a giant fucking map with 50,000 quests? You know, and of course, you know, the fucking RPG shit, you know, the color coded loot boxes, all that nonsense, all that's gone, you know.
Interesting.
It's just pure Assassin's Creed the way it used to be. If you like Assassin's Creed 1, 2, 3, all those games, you'll like this. This is good stuff. You know,
isn't this one also not like a full priced Assassin's Creed game? It's like 60, right?
$50.
You know? Okay. So old video game prices. Remember those?
Yep. Yeah. I'm still playing it to try to get the platinum. But it took me about 23 hours to beat the game. And I'm talking about with everything. You know me. I try to 100% it, because I did 100% the game when I beat it. But I want to get the platinum now. It took me about 23-24 hours to 100% the game. That's pretty good. You know, that's pretty damn good. So I'm very happy with that game. And obviously next week, I'm going to talk to Richard. I'm going to get him on the Thursday show so we could both talk, because he's been playing Spider-Man. So we will have the Spider-Man special, just like we had the Starfield special, you know?
Spider-Man!
Yeah, and although I suspect that talk won't be as long, just because there's no huge controversy surrounding that game like there was with Starfield. But maybe Monday will bring new controversy for us to speak of. If the gaming community has taught me one thing, is that they will always dredge up some nonsense to get upset about, you know?
You mean they're going to be talking about some sort of puddles and
Yeah. I guess that's a spoiler alert. Spider-Man 2 has puddles.
But have those puddles been taken down?
You broke embargo.
Have those puddles been taken down since the last time we saw Spider-Man?
Yeah, they took them away, man. They fucked this game, man. All right, good stuff.
Controversy.
Yeah. Brett, what have you been playing lately?
Playing Starfield.
Hey, there we go. Segway Kings. Yeah,
bro. I just been flying around scanning planets for resources, like finding places. Like it feels like, I think that's the thing that reminds me the most of Mass Effect, is like, honestly, just like zooming into planets, be like, yeah, this seems like a good place to drop a thing to generate some resources. Drop down, like do a little resource pump, little solar array on it, and then you're like, all right, cool. Well, I'll be back, and then you just kind of like fly around to different places and gather up your resources. It's just as pointless as it was in Mass Effect. It's just as kind of like boring / dull as it was in Mass Effect, and it's just as satisfying as it was in Mass Effect. Nice. I don't know how to explain it. It's the box loading from Shenmue.
Launching probe.
Probe launch. Yeah,
like, did anybody else get stuck in that loop where I'm like, man, I'm just gonna fly around like scan all these planets and launch my probe?
that was Chris when we lived when we were roommates, because I remember Chris used to scan probes at late at night, and that's all we used to hear that relaxing scanning music in the middle of the night.
Used to put me to sleep.
Oh man, good stuff. Right, Brian, what have you been playing lately?
Okay, as a quick update, the Lord of the Rings Dwarves game is not made by the same developer or the same publisher. It just happened to look really bad. And also, it's not being cancelled. So I don't know where I heard that from, but...
It should be. Whatever. If it's
It just looks all right, you know. But I think the other... I think it's like the Dwarf Galactic game is slightly better, but whatever. Okay. I also have been playing Starfield on and off, less so now than recently. It's really fun. Brett, I don't know if you found that there's a... Well, there's plenty of spaceships out there. There's this one space station where the gravity control is messed up. Have you been there yet?
Yes, I have.
I thought that was one of the best fights in the whole game so far.
Dude,
it's so good.
The zero-G combat is genuinely pretty cool.
Yeah, what other games have zero-G combat?
Because I don't know. That made me kind of think about it. It's like, I can't Dead think Space, of
it. Call of Duty. Hey, Brian, is it the one where there's like three levels? Like, it's like this huge place, a space station with like three levels and like a tunnel in
the middle? The one I'm talking about is... See, I don't want to spoil it because I think it's quite good. But it's the one where... Someone had a switch and things go on and off every like 10 seconds. Okay, if you haven't been there, then it doesn't matter. But I thought that was really quite fun.
Well, because when you say that, I thought of another level where someone has a switch and you go off and on for. So, but I might be spoiling shit for you. But I did play. You go to a space station and it is zero G. I don't remember what the objective was. I just remember that level.
I'm talking about is not the casino one, because the casino one is off the whole time.
Mm. Yeah, but that one was pretty good. I remember it being pretty good. If we're talking about the same one,
did you find the did you open the vault in the casino?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, I found it by accident, and I spent like half an hour trying to find where the codes were, and then I found them and I was like, oh, this is actually quite nice. That just goes to the interesting things of Starfield, how there was no map marker there. It was just kind of like, hey, here's a station just floating in space, and then it's up to you and your curiosity to go there and investigate what's it doing, and then you find out all these cool things. So yeah, I am enjoying it. But also in the downtime, I decided to pick up Shadows of War, and that game is also really fun. And
because I got words about that game. Go on.
It is just more Shadows of Mordor, but expanded, and I can see where they have... Again, I played it after they patched out all the nonsense. So hence, my experience will be vastly different from everyone else that played at launch date. So keep that in mind. However, I am enjoying it. It is starting to feel a bit long in the tooth, how it's just kind of repetitive towards the end, where it's like, oh yeah, go to this place, you do the same things, go to that place, you do the same things. It's like, they should have done it like three times maximum, but I think I'm doing it like five times now, and it's just starting to feel a bit long. But the actual process itself is actually really quite fun. I like how they added different traits in the game. So now different captains have different things they fear, different things they like, they hate. And it actually adds a layer of strategy. Like, it's very difficult to just go through and like steamroll them. You actually think, okay, what are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? Does this captain report to a war chief? If so, do I want him to infiltrate the war chief so that I can take him out easier? And so forth. So it adds like a weird layer of strategy to the whole thing, and it's quite nice. And I really hate the boyfriend system. Sorry, I mean the blood brother system. I can't stand that. You know, like you'll be fighting just this one guy, and then suddenly his blood brother just appears out of nowhere, and it's like, oh great, two of them. But I really love the ambushes. I think they're just brilliant. Like the amount of times I've just been ambushed where I'm like sneaking around trying to get some intel or like another captain, and then just ambushed. It's like, what the fuck? It's brilliant. So yeah, I'm loving it, and I'm going for the platinum, so let's see what happens.
Oh, you think you can get away?
And of course, like, I love all the random orcs they have. Like, I found the one that sings, and he just pissed me off. I found one who just walks away without even killing me, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's just, you just want to get revenge so badly. I remember this one guy, I found him, he had a blood brother, and he just kicked my ass, and then they just kept on leveling up and whatnot. So I end up in a point where there was guy A, or Captain A, that I wanted to get. He had his brother, let's say Captain B, and then they kept on rising the ranks until they both became war chiefs. And then the reason why I wanted Captain A in the first place is that he reported to one of the war chiefs that I wanted to take down. So I ended up saying, okay, so in order to take down the war chief, I first need to take down Captain B so that I can take out Captain A so that I can then take out the war chief. And it's like, what other game makes you... Well, there's plenty of other games, but it's just the idea that you have to strategize these things. Like, you can't just rush into it. Because if I were to attack the war chief, then Captain A and B will both be there and make my life even worse. So it's like trying to like plan out the perfect route to take out the right people at the right time so that at the end it's easy. Yeah, it's great fun. I'm sure that Tony's thoughts are slightly different to mine.
They're very, very different. That game, I never finished it because I got so frustrated, I stopped playing it. Like, it was one of the... It was such a... Okay, you gotta, Brian, you know, I loved the first game, right? Shadow Mordor. Mm-hmm. I was like one of my favorite games, right? So I'm going to this with the same expectations, right? And I think I made it about 20 hours in, but like, I can't do this anymore, right? The forced microtransaction shit, the fucking loot system, like, and... It was just horrible. I know they removed all that, but that shit was in your face like the whole time, you know? We're like, oh, you can't progress until you get this set of armor and you got to do all this other nonsense, or you can pay us right now and you can skip all that. I'm like, okay, fuck this. Fuck this shit, you know? So I never made it that far. I got frustrated. And even now I know they fixed it, but I'm still like, I remember that, man. I remember that, you know. I'm not a forgiving person, you know. So yeah.
That's fair enough. That is fair. Also, I just have to throw this in there because I think it's quite funny. Carlos, you know all the praises that you're giving Cyberpunk and how it's so great and whatnot.
Yeah, you like it?
That's exactly how I felt about The Witcher 3. So it's nice seeing how it's nice seeing the enthusiasm and praise I felt for Witcher 3. Carlos is doing the same thing on Cyberpunk. And then hopefully you can understand why people are so weirdly evangelical about Witcher, given your experience with Cyberpunk.
Well, I always knew that CD Projekt Red was great. I mean, I played The Witcher 2 for a little bit and I liked it, but I never got through it. Witcher 3, I started it and I didn't, but I knew, you know, everyone I know that plays video games, and I kind of respect their taste in video games, praised The Witcher 3 like you did. So I knew that CD Projekt Red was great. It was just, you know, Cyberpunk, it took, because there's a reason why I waited 3 years to play it, because, you know, the whole hoopla that they had with the release. But yeah, I mean, when it's a finished product, and you know, most games I wouldn't have waited this long. But then again, it's CD Projekt Red and Cyberpunk, and it looks, even when I first played it, when it came out, it looked incredible. Yeah, once they got their shit together, this is one of the best games I've ever played. I'm like, damn, like I was telling Tony the other day, I don't know if we said it in the show, but I'm like, man, they're getting rid of the red edges. Why?
Yeah, it's dope, man. That shit is really, really next gen too, man.
Yeah, it really is.
They said... It's actually switched. They're not sure.
Oh, they're changing now?
Yes.
They seem pretty adamant they were switching to Unreal.
Yeah, there was something about it that they may not be getting rid of it too soon. And they also said something along the lines of what they've done with Cyberpunk may not also be the end.
So yeah, because maybe, they previously said the reason we're not going to get DLC, for more DLC for Cyberpunk is because they're moving away from the Red Engine. That's what they said.
Yes, but now they're saying they've changed, they've pivoted, and there says there's the DLC is not the end, but they don't exactly tell you what. So it might mean
that shit must have done really well then.
Yeah,
yeah, so. And you know what? I got to give a shout out to this game also, because like I've never played as well of a curated world as this game.
It's like, really good world. That's what kept me in there, man. I was like, I can't play it. There's no other game like this. Like what other open world cyberpunk game is there out there? There isn't any, you know?
It's just really, really precisely crafted. And what, you know, you're like I mentioned earlier.
Singular vision, man.
Mm-hmm. You do a side gig. It's not a main quest. It's not even a side quest. And you go into this random ass building that you've never been in before. And it's like, it's specific for this quest, you know? And it's like, not a lot of games have that level of detail into them. And this game took 10 years to develop. When it was first announced, at least, and it makes sense. And I'm surprised, you know, this game doesn't look dated.
No, it doesn't.
Like Tony mentioned, this is one of the best games, one of the best looking games ever.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cyberpunk. I'm sad, you know, as I'm finishing this, and I'm like, I'm sad that, you know, I'm gonna have to stop playing it. But
that's how you know a game is good.
But Spider-Man's, you know, one a good alternative. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. All right. And last but not least, Chris, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, I have not been playing anything. I've just been busy with work.
Uh-oh. You're working. You're playing the game of life.
Yeah, man. I'm looking for. I am going to enjoy Spider-Man next week, though.
Yeah, there you go. I'm getting
it. And it won.
Spider-Man.
Yes.
All right, good stuff, man. And that is it for us for the Thursday show, people. Another one in the books. Do we have anything to plug?
I am Negan, as you guys know, Walking Dead podcast. But for those that don't know, it's a podcast about anything and everything Walking Dead. Where right now we're talking about the Daryl Dixon show, The Nuke. Me, Richard Bailey Jr., and Adam Vale do a podcast every week after each episode airs for the Daryl Dixon show, or recap everything. And there's a Daryl Dixon show, and there was a trailer for the Rick and Michonne show, so that's going to be coming out early next year. So look forward to that. So we're talking about everything, Walking Dead, Fear. It's called I Am Negan, thecoalition.com, the Coalition with a K, and The Coalition YouTube. Check it out.
Good stuff. Barry Burton. Yo, Tony, you're still going to NYCC? I'm glad you asked. Yes, I will be. I will be going to the NYC. I'll be there on Saturday for pretty much most of the day. Got my press badge, you know. So, yeah, man, it's Link Up. It's been a while since I've seen you. It seems like I see you every year at Comic-Con.
Yeah, that show you don't want to be at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our boy. I was about to say his real name, but I'll keep that hushed. You know, he'll always be Barry Burton to the Throwdown fans. But yeah, man, it's been a while, man. Like I call you one of my NYCC friends. Like there's a specific set of people I only see at Comic-Con every year, and you're one of them. You know, even though you live in New York, we could probably hang out with like whenever. You know, but yeah, good stuff. Yeah, so I'll be there Saturday. I'll probably be there around noon or so, maybe a little early. I'm going to link up with my homie, George Jimenez, get some breakfast, go to Jimenez, man, my Dominican brother, Jimenez. You know? So yeah, I'll be there. I'll probably start around noon. Even though, you know, we're kind of being told not to go to Manhattan tomorrow because some bullshit may happen. I may go just to get my badge. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, the whole fucking shit we're going on Israel and Palestine right now. So apparently some shit is about to go down in major cities tomorrow. So we'll see. So that's probably going to fuck up Comic-Con with more security, you know? Thank mm-hmm. you, you know? But yeah, so I'll be there on Saturday. When is that? Like close to Saturday? I don't know if I'm going to be there all the way to 7, but I'll be there going around looking for the peoples. Barry Burton, is it related to Jack Burton?
Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah, right.
No, that's Resident Evil, man.
Yeah, Jack.
Yeah, Burton, it's Resident Evil. But as Jack Burton always says, what the hell?
Good stuff. So yeah, if you guys are, you know, in the New York Comic Con, hit me up. I'll be around. You know, it'll be fun to see some of my old friends. Good stuff. Hopefully this year will be more popular than last year and more popular than the year before that. You know?
Yeah, it was even last year was a little bit sparse. I mean, this is actually the first Comic-Con that is not done in a pandemic situation.
Yeah. Sucks you won't be there, though, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately.
It is what it is.
Yeah, man, I look at it this way. If I was putting people in seats, you know, they would have had no question to put me out there. But, you know, it's all good. Next year, try again. But if you do want to get anything that's related to that I've done, you can head over to my Twitter account, which I have links on the top, on the front, on the pinned tweet. You can pick up prints. You can pick up T-shirts. All that good stuff.
Yeah, Barry. If you got me on Telegram, hit me up. We could meet up in the press lounge. I'll be good. Manny, did you talk to Jay Shep yet?
Oh yes. I'll send you something.
But that's, I'm saying that on air so you could promote, you know, the Ninja Turtles DVD, because Manny's gonna sign a Jay Shep's Ninja Turtles DVD box set, that, you know, the 2003 series that Manny worked on. So
yeah,
you know,
that'll be fun. But yeah, the one thing I would say to you, Jay, if you're listening, don't send your whole DVD set. Just send, you know, send the box. Just send the paper. The little slip case paper. And I'll be putting up my, I'm sorry about guys, I'll be putting up my my PO box into the chat so that you guys can send over some Ninja Turtles.
Hey, there you go. That's a good idea. You don't want to send your DVD set, you know.
No, don't send your DVDs. It's U.S. Postal Service. They'll probably smash it. So you know.
Oh man, just cause.
If the paper gets a little gnarled up, we can work with that. But you know, don't send all your DVDs. I don't need to sign all of them.
Yeah. All right, man. Good stuff. So that's it for us. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping, even during holidays. Columbus Day, motherfuckers are still in there, you know, talking about games, man. It's good stuff. Throwdown, we are on every podcast app you could think of. Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Mongeau.
Imagine ruining your career for a woman who still likes Tupac like that.
Oh, God. See, I'm just going to say it, like, this dude's a fucking cuck. Like, holy shit. Anyway, we'll see you guys on Sunday, man. Later.